Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu class, November 13th. We're continuing our discussion of Bhava Bhakti chapter. And we have a very interesting discussion about sometimes a person attains Bhava just by the, from last life. And in this life he doesn't exhibit very good behavior. It says Vaigunyam, absence of good devotional qualities. And he may be a little rough and maybe a little doesn't seem to be so advanced, but if we look at the Srup Lakshan of this individual, his actual characteristics, he's exhibiting the 9 characteristics of a Bhava Bhakta. They're very interesting. So as we concluded yesterday, it's very difficult to judge anyone. Now he goes on with the same point in text 60, 1360. Tam Bhagavati cha hara vananya cheta brisho malino pi virajate manusha nahi shasha kalusha chavi kadachit timira parabhavatam upaiti chandra. This is from Narasimha Purana. A person who is dedicated completely to the Lord may show externally serious contamination, but internally is pure. The full moon, though marked by the figure of a rabbit, is never overcome by darkness. And the spots on the moon, when there's a Purnachandra, full moon, there's some spots, and the Buddhists say that, and Hindu they say Mriga Chandra, they say Mriga, it's like a rabbit, like Kargosh, you know Kargosh? They say that that looks like a rabbit standing, Kargosh, rabbit standing sideways, the body like this and two ears like this, you know, profile or silhouette. And in some other, I think in the Buddhist tradition, they say it, some other thing, the rabbit and some other thing. And in America, they say the man in the moon. The man is the man up there. So he's trying to compare that someone attains Bhava. He may appear to have some spots, but we shouldn't, it doesn't reduce his position of having Bhava. Jiva Goswami's commentary. A person may show serious contamination. This means that it is seen externally that he performs forbidden activities. However, he shines with internal bhakti, which cannot be defeated by anyone. He's incomparable in terms of his bhava. These are difficult subjects, can be easily misused, but as I mentioned yesterday, we should just respect everyone and keep a distance. It's very hard to understand. The dark spot on the moon is called a rabbit. Though there is a fault in the beauty of the moon because of the spot, that fault is only superficial. Outward ill manners don't count because the person above a bhakta, he can bring all men under his control. And he shines among us due to the presence of the Bhava in his heart. It's like a shining full moon, although it has some spots. So apparently what he's saying here in this end of the Bhava Bhakti chapter is that sometimes there is some very, what sometimes is called avadut, a very extraordinary spiritual personalities that grace the planet Earth. And they may not appear to do any sadhana at all in this life. What we know is sadhana. They're not chanting, they're not reading, they're not doing anything. But in previous, they've either been directly blessed by a devotee or Krishna in this life to attain bhava, or as this discussion was already we discussed, in previous life they attained bhava. And then they took birth again in this, with that bhava, they attained that state of bhava, and immediately exhibiting all the qualities of a Bhava Bhakta. In other words, they speak, they don't do anything, but then they speak about Krishna in such a way that everyone becomes amazed, everyone becomes attracted. They may even do some, it doesn't say anywhere in this discussion, it says Vaigunya, he doesn't have good behavior, or here it says some forbidden activities. It doesn't say sin, it just says forbidden activities. He may externally show serious contamination. Brisha Malino. What the extent of that is? It just says, Jiva Goswami says, outward ill manners. Ill manners means he may be disrespectful. He said, "Yeah, you stupid," or he may talk roughly or whatever, disrespectful, but he's a Bhava Bhakta. And the proof of his Bhav is that he affects so many men and brings them to Krishna. And nowhere in this discussion does it say that he engages in any sinful activities. So this is the kind of the crucial difference between imposters. Somebody may be an imposter and show the external symptoms of Bhav, crying and hair standing in it. But then he always engages in some type of illicit activity, if he's some sadhu, he's some with women or whatever. And so that would discount him as a true Bhava Bhakta. Although his followers may try to purport him to be such. Oh, he's in Bhav. Guruji's in Bhav. Okay, but Rupa Goswami and Jiva Goswami said someone may be in Bhav. And there's some minor infractions in their behavior and manners. But there's no scope for sinful activity. This is an important distinction. Now he concludes his chapter in Bhava by saying, Ratiranisha Nisargoshna Prabalataranda Pura Rupeva Ushmanam Api Vamanti Sudamshu Koter Api Swadvi. Bhava or Rati is naturally and eternally unstable because of its continuous, ever-increasing desires for pleasing Krishna, and Bhava is full of bliss. Manifesting this instability in the form of a variety of sumptuary bhavas, it is tastier than millions of moons. So this is kind of a summary of Bhava Bhakti. Just kind of, you could say, encouraging us to come to this level of experiencing a life full of bliss. Prabalatarananda. Prabal, very powerful experience of unlimited joy. Bhava Rati is characterized by continuous instability and very strong bliss. Instability means he's in one's service and one's realization and communion with the Lord at the level of bhava, it creates so many repercussions and reactions in his body, which are going this way and that way. These sanchari bhavas are like waves that rise on an ocean and fall. Sometimes he's despondent and feels sad in his love for Krishna, and sometimes he's very joyful, and sometimes crying. Many, many, what we say, in English we say mood shifts. He has mood shift, shifting moods. Sanchari means that. Sanchari means sanchara, chara chara, means to move. So sanchari means transitory emotions. Vyavachari bhav. So this is what it means by instability. It doesn't mean he's cracked. He's unstable. He's unstable. Instability doesn't mean he's sometimes sane and sometimes cracked. It's talking about bhava. It's talking about position of his heart. That Krishna is dragging and stretching and pulling his heart in different directions due to the dynamics of love. Love has its own dynamic. And that love operates on the bhava bhakta according to the will of the Lord in the divine play of love. So he experiences many different feelings. But the ultimate, no matter which way he goes, which way Krishna moves his heart, despondency or happiness or pathos or hankering, it produces unlimited bliss, inconceivable bliss. And there's some note here also. Overview of Bhava, because the chapter is over, next chapter is Prema Bhakti. Bhava is the goal or sadhya of our devotional endeavors, sadhana. Bhava is the stage of devotional development, wherein Krishna's Shuddha Sattva internal potency enters the heart. What is Shuddha Sattva? Shuddha Sattva is, in one sense you could say, it's the combination of Radha and Krishna. Shuddha Sattva means, Sattva means goodness of course, but this means transcendental potency, spiritual energy. The Shuddha Sattva enters into the heart at the time of Bhava, and Shuddha Sattva is a combination of Ladini Shakti and Samvit, all knowledge, all awareness. That Samvit Shakti is Vasudeva Krishna, and Ladini Shakti is Radharani. So when Shuddha Sattva enters the heart, Krishna Shuddha Sattva means that his expansion as Samvit, or understanding, cognizance, awareness, knowledge, and bliss, love, divine, enters the heart. So it's like Radha and Krishna entering the heart, a ray of Radha and Krishna. And then what happens? It acts to revive one's dormant love for Krishna. Krishna prema is like a seed in the heart, but it can't grow without the touch of Krishna's devotional energy, Shuddha Sattva. Just like a seed may be in the ground. You put a seed in the earth. But if it's winter time, nothing happens. It's too cold. The earth is too cold. The air is too cold. And it's too dry. There's no moisture. So there's some outside factors that have to contact that seed for that seed to manifest its potential. Right? Yes? And if you put the seed in the ground in Alaska or some freezing cold place, it'll stay there for hundreds of years in the ground. Right? It's too cold and too dry to grow. But when the moisture, when the air temperature heats up, it becomes spring, and then rain comes, the soil softens, the rain comes, the heat comes, then all these factors combine to make that seed open up. So this is the Shuddha Sattva potency, which comes from outside of us. When one eagerly wants to serve Sri Krishna, the Shuddha Sattva potency may enter the heart, may or may not, through the mercy of the pure devotee. Shuddha Sattva is composed of two spiritual potencies I mentioned, Krishna Samvit and Ladini potency. Samvit Shakti is Krishna's own cognitive or knowledge potency. It descends into the heart. And when our heart contacts that potency, that power, ability, or potency empowers us to know, understand, perceive, and see Krishna. And of course, to know, understand, and perceive ourselves as well means our spiritual form. Krishna's loving bliss potency, Ladini, also descends into the heart and empowers us to fully manifest blissful love of God, prema. Now one begins to relish Sri Krishna as the supreme object of pure love. This is Bhava Bhakti, the dawning of love of Godhead, Krishna prema. In other words, the primary characteristic of bhava is the ingress, or the coming into us, of Krishna's Shuddha Sattva potency into the heart of the sadhaka. Two secondary characteristics of Bhava Bhakti. So that's the primary. What's the primary? We're talking about Bhava Bhakti. Sadhana Bhakti, Vaidhi Sadhana, Raghunuga Sadhana. Then Bhava. Then Bhava goes to Prema. So the primary Swarup Lakshana, primary characteristic is that you have to contact this Shuddha Sattva potency. Where is it? It's out there, with the eternal associates of Krishna and with the Guru, with that Siddha Guru. What are the Tathasta Lakshana, the secondary characteristics? Well, that's mentioned in the definition. It softens the heart and gives rise to different tastes or aspirations. In other words, a softened heart doesn't mean, oh, she's so soft-hearted. You know, someone hits her dog, she cries. We're not talking about that kind of soft heart. It's soft. When someone contacts Bhava Bhakti, his heart becomes softened in the sense that he gives up the desire to be the enjoyer. This is hardness of the heart. Women, so-called soft-hearted, you know, sentimental women that cry at anything, they have the hardest hearts you can imagine, because they're full of material desires, just like men. Men and women have very hard hearts because they're hardened by material desires. But when one attains Bhava Bhakti, he has a softened heart, means masrinya. It's called masrinya. Ruchibis masrinya. Masrinya means the heart, the chitta, chitta ruchibis. Ruchibis chitta masrinya. That the chitta, the consciousness becomes softened, which means that it gives rise to different aspirations. At the level of bhava, the heart is easily moved by Krishna conscious stimulation. Then three kinds of tastes or devotional desires come. In other words, these three things, one has intense taste and desire for these. Prapti abhilash. He develops an intense desire to achieve Krishna. Two, anukulya abhilash. He develops an intense desire to act favorably and to please Krishna with various services. And he has no other abhilash. Anyabhilashita shunyam. This is uttam bhakti. Anyabhilashita shunyam. He doesn't have, okay, I like to please Krishna. I make nice offerings. I make a nice outfit for my deities. And I go to the temple on Janmashtami. I give a donation. And I read Bhagavatam every day. I'm pleasing Krishna. Not exactly like that. It means there's all-consuming, you're only in single all-consuming desire. It's your avilash, ek avilash, anya avilash. There is no other avilash. No personal ambition, no ulterior motives or desires. I want this, I need that, I have to have this. It's all gone now. Three, sohardha avilash. Sohardha means good heart. Intense desire to be close at heart with Krishna. In other words, the level of bhava, you can't bear a second to have Krishna away from your heart. His sight, his vision, his remembrance, his name, Nam Sadagana Ruchi. Nam Sadagana Ruchi. These are the nine characteristics. Nam Sadagana Ruchi. Krishna's name always has to be on my lips. I always have to have his name. I can't bear not to be connected with his name. Sohardha, intense desire to be close at heart with Krishna. When bhava bhakti appears, it saturates our consciousness to the extent that it appears to become one with the mind, as an iron rod appears to become one with the fire when it's immersed in the fire, becomes saturated with the quality of fire. To the extent that the rod and fire appear one, both are red hot and both can burn. So bhava is like that. Bhava enters the mind and the mind becomes bhava, the bhava becomes the mind. You can't tell. The mind is full of bhava and feels just full of feelings and actions that reflect that bhava. The condition of bhava is called tadatmika. Bhava causes one to deeply relish, taste, and realize Radha and Krishna's sweet pastimes. There's two ways to achieve bhava. This is a review of all the classes we gave on bhava bhakti. There's two ways to achieve bhava. One is ardent spiritual practices. That means intense sadhana. Tivrena bhakti yogena. And the other way is by special mercy of Krishna or his devotees. By sadhana, practice brings bhav by practicing Vaidhi Bhakti or Raghunuga Bhakti. Narada Muni attained bhava by Vaidhi Bhakti. What's the example? This is a review of the whole chapter. Narada Muni served the devotees for 4 months. Plus he heard Harikatha in the association. That's all he did. He's a kid. He's just a kid. He was humble, he was submissive, he was obedient, he stayed awake. And he really wanted to hear it, said he had intense desire to hear, and said he heard with great relish. He really liked it. All these big guys, all these big sadhus were hanging out some ashram for 4 months. He's a little kid with his mother, and he was serving them, cleaning their plates and this and that, and he asked if he could eat their remnants, but mostly he just served them humbly, and he would sit and listen to the Harikatha. So this Rupa Goswami Pad explains, this proves how you can attain bhava by repeatedly hearing Harikatha from pure devotees. So how did he attain bhava? By Navavida Bhakti. What was the specific form of Navavida Bhakti? Shravana. Right? Shravana, Kirtana, Vishnu, Smaranam. Right? There's 9 limbs of devotion. So he got bhava just by hearing Bhagavatam. And 4 months. Pretty powerful. We're hearing for 4 lifetimes, still no luck. Lavamacha, Lavamacha, Sarva Siddhi Hoy. Sarva Shastra, Sarva, what does it say? Sarasanga, Sarasanga. Sarva Shastra Hoy, Lavamacha, Sarasanga, Sarva Siddhi Hoy. All the Shastras explain just by a Lavamacha, by a moment's association with a great devotee, you can attain bhava. He has 4 months. And then he left. And he attained bhava. 4 month course. 120 days to bhava. Wash a few plates, sit down for 120 classes, bingo, bhava bhakti. By vaidhi sadhana, he wasn't following rag, you know, rag bhakti. What rag bhakti? Wow, it's esoteric. What is it? You know, raganuga. Get into it, man. Don't miss out. What is it? I got to go on the website, raganugabhakti.com. What is it? You know, lay it on me. Don't pass me by. I don't want to be left in the dust. The goal is bhav and prem. However you get there, get there. Rupa Goswami cites him as an example. Srila Prabhupada says, this is from Nectar Devotion, a realized soul has the potency to inject, a beautiful phrase, Prabhupada, very powerful writing. A realized soul has the potency to inject spiritual life within the audience. Now that's Vaidhi Sadhana. So these realized souls, they were speaking, these Mahabhagavats were speaking to Bhagavatam every day to Narad, and they injected spiritual life into his heart just by the hearing process, submissive hearing, with taste. He heard with taste. I mean, he really liked it, he really enjoyed it. He wasn't like, he's like wide awake. We're like, so tired, so old, so overloaded and overworked. So as soon as we sit down for class, oh, it's a great time to get a little rest. Finally got a break from the kids, got a break from my husband, got a break from the job. I sit down, 8 to 9 o'clock, oh, it's not nice. And he was wide awake. He took advantage of all his youthful passion to hear attentively with taste and attraction and relish. And it worked. You got perfection by sadhana bhakti. Now an example of bhava, attaining bhava by raganuga bhakti. The lady named Chandrakanti, she saw a Krishna deity, was her own deity actually, and aroused her desire to dance all night with Krishna like the gopis did in the rasa dance at night. So she did this, she danced all night in front of her deity, while continually thinking of the Braja Gopis. So first of all, can you dance all night without falling asleep? Probably not. Dance all night means from 7 o'clock at night until 6 o'clock in the morning, continuously. 12, 13 hours dancing. Enthusiastically, not like shuffling here and there. I mean, she's dancing. Rasa dancing, the gopis in the rasa dance weren't like just like doing some slow dance at the teen canteen or something, you know. they were spinning and rocking, they were doing tandava nitya, they were doing chalukya dance. You read in the Govinda Lilamrita, they're doing handsprings, they're doing cartwheels. You know, you ever see these girls do cartwheels, you know? They go like this with their hands, like this on the ground, their feet. And they're going back like this, like a boat. One gopi's going back like this while dancing and spinning around. You ever seen Ras Leela when Krishna dances on his knees around the stage and he's Ras Leela performances, the Brahmin boys? You know, Krishna's dancing, he goes in this dance around on his knees. It's really incredible. Very exuberant dancing. One of the dances is called Tandava Nritya. It's a male dance. Krishna does Tandava Nritya. Tandava is Nataraj Shiva. Gaur Nataraj Gauranga. And Krishna, he's doing Tandava Nritya in the rasa dance. That means his one leg is like this and one leg is like that. He's dancing like anything. So she was dancing in that bhav, in that mood, in that style, all night in front of her deity. And where's her mind? Is her mind spaced out or enjoying her body or enjoying the music? All right, oh, don't, boom, boom. You know, she's not like getting into the beat and, gyrating her chakras with some kind of lower vibration music. She was just totally dancing all night. It wasn't any music. Wasn't she put on a stereo? All right, let's go. Where's the stereo? This is 500 years ago. There's no electricity. The electricity was her hankering, her intense desire, yearning. And her mind was totally fixed on the Braja Gopis the whole night. So much so, she was thinking, oh Krishna, oh my Thakurji, oh Thakurji, you're dancing with me. I am attracting you so much. You're dancing with me and you're not dancing with the other Gopis. Look at me, Thakurji, I'm dancing even more exuberantly than Radharani, see? And this is an nectar of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And Radharani noticed that. And Radharani blessed her with Bhav, directly from Radharani's heart. She attracted Radharani's attention. Radharani was envious. Hey, what are you trying to do? Catch my Thakurji. She wasn't envious. She was very happy. Oh, that's very nice. You're trying to please my Shyam? You're trying to love him and serve him? Great. Let me give you suitable Bhav to do it. Let me give you suitable Siddhadeya. Directly, Sakshat Radharani, Nitya Parishad, she gave the Bhav. Chandrakanti by Raghunuga Sadhana. Raghunuga means following the Brijvasis, following their Bhav, following their activities, hankering for their Bhav, wanting to do Seva like them, and praying to Radharani, and praying to Krishna in Vrindavan, Brajabhav, that's Raghunuga. And directly from the Parishad, all far, far away, millions and millions of miles away in Goloka, Radharani sent SMS. Radharani called, oh, look at, hey, Krishna, look at this Chandrakanti. What's her number? 987 Okta. Ping. Ping! Hey, what's this? Acha. Please, now, load your phone. You have attained Bhava Bhakti. Acha. Radharani. Oh, Jai Radharani, thank you. Just like this, came. There's an example Rupa Goswami gives. It's from Padma Purana. Full stories in Padma Purana. So this is by Raghunuga Sadhan and Vaidhi Sadhan. Then there's, the other is by, of course, by Mercy. And we'll tell more tomorrow.